Let's read together Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. In this first section of Romans 15, we have the conclusion of what was discussed in chapter 14, namely the matter of weak Christians and strong Christians. We see here in chapter 15 that the strong Christians should support the weak Christians and follow the supreme example of our Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Let's consider some background notes, first of all. A simple two-part outline of the book of Romans would be Roman numeral 1, doctrinal, chapters 1 through 11, and Roman numeral 2, practical, chapters 12 through 16. Now, in the practical division of the book, we have directions on how Christians should function and relate in society, how they should function and relate to governing authorities, how they should function and relate in Christian ministries, and how they should function and relate with other believers. Very practical. Any question you have about how you should live and function and relate in this world as a Christian is probably covered in the book of Romans. In chapter 14, Paul specifically deals with a question of how weak Christians and strong Christians should relate to one another. Now, by weak and strong, Paul does not mean physically weak and strong. No, he's talking about matters of conviction and conscience. Weak Christians are those Christians who do not fully understand their Christian liberty and freedom in Christ concerning matters of moral indifference. For example, in the first century when Paul wrote this letter, many of the early Christians were Jewish. Judaism, of course, had many regulations. There were the Sabbath laws, and there were the dietary laws. In Christ, all of these kinds of ceremonial laws were ended. But not all Christians were as freed up or as strong as other Christians. The weak Christians still had scruples and inhibitions about eating or not eating certain foods and treating certain days as more holy than other days. So the point of chapter 14 was that weak Christians should not judge strong Christians and that strong Christians should not look down or despise weak Christians, and strong Christians should not stumble weak Christians. Now remember, the weak, strong question has to do with areas of moral indifference. It has to do with weakness, not wickedness. Don't ever get the idea that the strong Christian can allow a little more sin in his life than a weak Christian. No, the weak Christian versus the strong Christian only has to do with areas of moral indifference. Illustration, having wine with your dinner or not having wine with your dinner. Or do you dress up on Sunday or not? The Christians have different opinions here. Now, in the first 7 verses of chapter 15, we see that strong Christians are to support weak Christians. And that brings us to our doctrinal points or teaching points for this first section of Romans 15. Doctrinal point number 1. The strong Christian should support the weak Christian because of the example of Christ. The strong Christian should support the weak Christian because of the example of Christ. Verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. Verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. And verse 7, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The strong Christian should support the weak Christian because of the example of Christ. Now, in chapter 14, we learned that the strong Christian should not stumble the weak Christian. Here in chapter 15, we see that the strong Christian should actually go further and support the weak Christian. Now, to support the weaker Christian does not mean that you give in to the legalist Christian who sets up all kinds of rules as to what he or she thinks makes a Christian spiritual. No. The legalist is generally not a weak brother or sister. The legalist problem is not a matter of a tender conscience in these areas. No, they have a set of self-made standards to determine who measures up to their supposed level of spirituality. Furthermore, to support a weaker Christian does not mean that you live under the tyranny of every hang-up of a weaker Christian. Suppose a weaker Christian here in this fellowship believed that it was wrong to drink coffee because coffee was a strong drink. You don't live under the tyranny of that weaker brother or sister's conscience and change your whole coffee hour here or something like that. No, what it means for the stronger Christian to support the weaker Christian is that the stronger Christian does not flaunt his Christian liberty and expect the weaker Christian to see it my way or it's too bad. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." That's the word that's used here for bear or support. We do what we can to help the weaker brother or sister grow in Christ and not be hung up on insignificant or non-essential matters. Note verse 2, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Neighbor here, of course, is fellow believer. The good here, you see, is not to see it their way. No, but to teach them without stumbling them. You know, right now, when it snows, I shovel my neighbor's walk on the Sabbath because they are Orthodox Jews. Now, just suppose that he were to become a Christian. Well, I would still shovel his walk on the Sabbath, because there might be a time period there where, as they grow in the Christian faith, they might still be hung up on this matter of what to do on Saturday and what not to do. I would support my weaker brother, do you see? But along the way, be seeking to teach him and waiting for him to say, "Hey, you don't have to shovel my walk, I'll shovel my own walk. I'm a Christian now." That would be the stronger Christians supporting the weaker Christians. Why should stronger Christians support weaker Christians? Because of the example of Christ. That's our doctrinal point. Look at verse 3 once again. "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." That's a quote from Psalm 69, where the Messiah is speaking to God the Father. And the point is, look at what the Lord went through voluntarily for us. And we were no prize package. Would you agree? And verse 7, "Therefore receive one another just as Christ received us to the glory of God." How did Christ receive us? We were powerless. We were sinners. We were ungodly. We were enemies. But he received us. Certainly, we can accept and support fellow believers, even though we differ on non-essential matters. The strong Christian should support the weak Christian because of the example of Christ. Doctrinal point number 2. The strong Christian should support the weak Christian because of the exhortation of Scripture. The strong Christian should support the weak Christian because of the exhortation of Scripture. Verse 4. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Just as this quote from the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 69, should be an encouragement to us, so are the rest of the Old Testament Scriptures written to give us endurance and encouragement. That's the idea in these words, patience and comfort. In fact, some of your translations use the words endurance and encouragement. Now, remember the context here. And think of how Moses, for example, and Elijah, and the other Old Testament prophets helped their weak fellow believers. Think of what they tolerated and put up with as far as ignorance and immaturity and lack of understanding was concerned. And not just overnight, but day in and day out for years. These scriptures, you see, should motivate us to endure and be encouraged. In verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort, see those same words, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. God is the author of these scriptures that are to give us encouragement and help us to endure, particularly in the context, you see, of dealing with different levels of spiritual maturity. The strong Christian should support the weak Christian because of the exhortation of Scripture. What about practical application from this first section of Romans 15? Are you destroying the mind and mouth of your fellowship? Are you destroying the mind and mouth of your fellowship? Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of your translations say with one accord or heart and with one voice. The idea here is unity, not uniformity, but unity. It's not the idea that everyone in the fellowship has to think exactly the same way about everything. No, but we can be united in mind and mouth in our desire to see people come to Christ and grow in the Lord. Let's not let our differences in non-essential matters destroy our fellowship. Remember, we're not talking here about tolerating false doctrine. That's not the point. No, we're talking about minor doctrinal differences and different ideas in non-moral matters because of our different backgrounds and traditions and different levels of spiritual maturity. Are you going to force your taste in Christian music, for example, on the rest of the congregation? Or are you going to be sensitive to your brothers and sisters in this area and not split the fellowship for the sake of the music program? Is it possible that you are destroying the united mind and mouth of this fellowship because you keep mouthing off about your pet ideas? Keep it up and you'll destroy the church. If you're a strong Christian, you'll see the bigger picture and you'll rise above the non-essentials and you'll tolerate as you teach your weaker fellow believers. I know a church that almost split because a brother insisted on wearing jeans and a t-shirt to the Sunday morning service. Now, he was a strong Christian and he was trying to prove a point that clothes don't matter to God. Well, clothes don't matter to God, but he was going about it in the wrong way. He was stumbling weaker Christians and offending 90% of the church. He was destroying the united mind and mouth of the fellowship. He should have known better. Question, are you destroying the mind and mouth of your fellowship?